An offensive in Fallujah would be one of the largest counterinsurgency operations undertaken by the U.S. military since Vietnam. As NPR's Tom Jelton reports, military planners turned their attention away from counterinsurgency in recent decades. Now they're scrambling to prepare for the challenges they face in Iraq.
Back in June 2003, as U.S. occupation forces in Iraq began coming under attack, American commanders over there and Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld back here initially refused to say the resistance in Iraq amounted to a guerrilla insurgency.
The reason I don't use the phrase guerrilla war is because there isn't one. And it would be a misunderstanding and a miscommunication to you and to the people of the country and the world.
Just 2 weeks later, the new U.S. military commander in the Middle East, General John Abizaid, flatly contradicted Rumsfeld, saying there was, quote, a classical guerrilla-type campaign against us, unquote. Rumsfeld's spokesman promptly dismissed the controversy, saying a discussion about what type of conflict there was in Iraq was beside the point and academic. But Marine Corps Colonel Thomas Hammes disagrees.
The problem is, if you don't understand the type of war you're in, you don't know how to fight it.
Because they failed to see the fighting in Iraq as the beginning of an insurgency, Hammes argues, U.S. commanders and Pentagon leaders were slow to respond to the Iraqis launching the attacks.
The result is that they got a long breathing space to get themselves organized. And unfortunately, this has been characteristic of Western powers responding to insurgencies. They don't recognize it as a real threat. They don't see an army. They don't see uniforms. They don't see capitals. So they don't understand it.
Hammes is the author of a new book, The Sling and the Stone, on war in the 21st century. He's long been fascinated by insurgencies and how they can be countered. But when he went to study the issue in American war colleges and military training institutes, all he found was Vietnam-era literature.
We have essentially banned the discussion of insurgency since the late 70s. It just hasn't been in our curriculum. We haven't written manuals on it. We simply stopped studying insurgency on the premise that we would never fight that way again.
The growing resistance in Iraq, however, has prompted a rebirth of interest in counterinsurgency war. The U.S. Army last month released a new field manual for counterinsurgency operations, the first update since the early 1960s. The manual was commissioned by Lieutenant General William Wallace, who commanded the Army's 5th Corps in Iraq. The officer who wrote the manual says General Wallace had recognized a problem in the Army's lack of preparation for counterinsurgency. Retired Colonel Robert Killebrew, who specialized in strategy and doctrine during his Army career, says commanders need to bring a special mindset to counterinsurgency warfare.
There's a difference between fighting short, sharp, decisive battles, the way the Army and the Marine Corps trained to do in the Air Force, and the slow kind of patient nation-building, building trust, winning hearts and minds operations that take place in counterinsurgency.
The new Army Field Manual, labeled for official use only, says that defeating an insurgent force requires more than objective superiority over it. More important are political reforms, civic action projects, and the restoration of basic government services in areas affected by an insurgency. Such principles are not entirely new. Stephen Metz of the Army War College, which this week released his analysis of the counterinsurgency challenge, says it's important to look for fresh approaches.
While there are some elements of 21st century insurgency that are similar to past insurgencies, whether in Vietnam or El Salvador or whatever, there are some other very important differences. And so what we can't do is simply pick up what we did in the 1980s and sort of plug it into the modern environment. What we're trying to do in this study is to participate in the debate that's attempting to assess what's new, what requires new methods, new organization, new doctrine, and what can we bring up from the old.
21st century insurgencies, Metz and others argue, are organized more loosely than the insurgencies associated with leaders like Mao Zedong in China, whose revolutionary movement was centrally commanded. Marine Colonel Thomas Hammes says the insurgent movement in Iraq should be seen as a coalition of movements, and it's important, he says, to understand that a modern insurgency is agile and adaptable.
If you're stupid or unlucky, you're out of the insurgency early because you're dead. So we're constantly improving the quality of the insurgent. And they're learning. It's a learning organization. You can see that in the patterns of attacks, in the complexity of the attacks, in how well targeted and timed they are.
Some of the lessons of successful counterinsurgency warfare have sobering implications for Iraq. It has to be a long-term, multi-year commitment, for one. It requires elements currently in short supply in the U.S. military, specialists in civil affairs and psychological operations, for example. Diplomatic, intelligence, and development activities need to be jointly planned and closely coordinated with military operations. And counterinsurgency requires a willingness to admit failure. Those whose careers are contingent on the success of a campaign, writes Stephen Metz, can never evaluate it with brutal objectivity, yet counterinsurgency demands brutal honesty. All tough lessons, yet Metz says counterinsurgency is likely the face of 21st century warfare, from Iraq to Afghanistan and wherever else the war on terrorism leads.
To the extent that we think of the war on terrorism as a global counterinsurgency, we'll come up with a more sophisticated and effective strategy than if we just see it as something where all we have to do is kill the bad guys.
The coming operation in Fallujah, Iraq, will undoubtedly involve killing a lot of bad guys. But counterinsurgency experts say a far more comprehensive and patient approach will be needed if the larger war in Iraq is to be concluded successfully. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.